Luke chapter 2. I'm going to get there, I promise you, but I got kind of a big introduction for you this morning. If you're new here, man, I'm so glad that you're here. My name's Boyd. I get to be one of the pastors, get to preach the Bible, get to raise up good men and reach a city. And so that's kind of my heartbeat. I shared some of you last week, if you're here, just kind of introduce myself to you. Make sure you stop by Next Steps on your way out, introduce yourself to our team. I kind of have this kind of unspoken rule, which is actually spoken because I'm about to tell it to you. But if you've been here more than a couple weeks, like, you really have nowhere else to go, so it's time for you to jump in, join a team, get in a group, and help us reach a city together, because God's doing something special in Salt Lake. I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if you are, like, kind of in tune with what God's been doing, but for the last several months, I have been on this deep, deep conviction that, man, God is on the move, and he really has been, right? Because what did he say in Matthew 16? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so that's what we're a part of here. And so I'm so glad you're here. Ties into this whole idea of Advent. As we look at Advent, it's a time for us to stop every year and remind us about the birth of our Savior, Jesus. When we think about Advent, we're talking about the arrival of Jesus when he first came to earth, right? That was his first arrival some 2,000 years ago. And we as the people of God, we look back on his first arrival, but we're also looking towards his second coming, right? Well, like, that's when we think about the idea of hope. Now, I don't mean to get on to you, but I'm kind of like, I shared with Stephen earlier today, we were talking in my office, and I was like, I'm kind of over the Christian that walks around with their head down, kind of like Eeyore. You remember, like, what's the movie? Winnie the Pooh, right? He had this friend Eeyore. Nothing's ever good enough. Everything's always bad. And I'm kind of tired of Christians walking around that way. Why? Because we have the hope of the gospel. Romans 15, 13, last week he said, for he is the God of hope. So if you are in Christ today, you have hope. You have a great future. Like, this life that we're living now, this might be the worst it'll ever be for you. But we've got to get out of this mentality as Christians that we're victims of life, that the world's against us and everything's horrible and miserable when we have the hope of the gospel. Why? Because of Jesus' promise. Came once, guess what? He's coming again. Said, hey, I'm going away. I'm coming back for you. And we, as the people of God, ought to be the most hope-filled people on earth. Why? Because we know how this story ends. It's like you're watching a football game on TiVo, and you already know how it's going to end up. Right? Like, I know how today's going to end. Jaguars playing the Colts. Going to look like we're about to win. It's a false sense of hope, and then somehow we're going to lose it at the end. Opposite of Christianity, because we're going to win, because we already have. That's hope. Talked about that last week. We, out of all people, have hope. Why? Because the tomb is empty. All right, we sung it last week, the song King of Kings. For that stone was rolled away for good. So we have hope, and we need more Christians. You don't have to pretend like your life's not falling apart. You don't have to pretend like you got it all figured out, but you do get to walk around in a full anticipation. When we talk about hope, we said that it's confident, it's assured, and it's expectant. Today, we're going to talk about the theme and the idea of peace. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write down this question. Where do you feel the gap between the peace Jesus promised in the reality that you're living in? Let me say that again. Where do you feel the gap between the peace Jesus promised and the reality you're living in? Another way to phrase that question is, what do you really want from God? Like, have you ever gotten that moment where you're like, you try to spiritualize everything, you try to like romanticize the hardship of life, and you're afraid to verbalize, man, this is what I really want from God in this moment. There's a story where Jesus looks at one of the guys in the Bible and he says, what do you want from me? And I think we're afraid to vocalize those things, right? Because we romanticize, we spiritualize what it means to be content in the Lord, and we try to like, oh man, I don't really want much from God. Like, I'm just blessed and highly favored already. Everything's good. But what do you really want in this life? Like, for some of us, if we were honest, we just want to know that at the end of all of this, everything's going to be okay. Like you're going through something right now, and all you want is for the Lord to say and speak to you that's going to be okay in the end. Like, I don't know how, don't know when, I just need to know that it's going to be okay. For some of us, we're just like, man, I just want true rest, and I want security for all my thoughts and my soul. For some of us, we just want to know that we'll have enough. More money, more provision, more care. If I could just get to this. You remember that time in your life? Man, if I could just get this raise, then everything's going to be awesome. And then you figure out a way to blow it again. You're like, man, if I could just get to this tax bracket, then everything's going to be fine. Because we all want something to satisfy. For some of you, right? You know those moments where you're living in it now? Like, man, all I really want from the Lord is just a quiet house. Man, if I could just put my baby to bed and not, like, creep out the door. You know the walk that you do? It's like, God. And then you hear a little whimper, and you're like, oh, no. Man, if I could just get that. If I could just know that I could put my baby to bed, and then I could just walk out of the room, find a book, sit by the fire, and not worry about a disturbance, then it'd be fine. If I could just have a moment where there's no conflicts, there's no stress, there's no worries, there's no wondering, there's no fear, right? For Christmas, I just want everybody to get along. Like, how many of you got family coming in town and you're already like prescriptive on all the things you're going to say to your family? Hey, just so you know, when you come in here, don't talk about that, don't bring up this, don't do this, don't say that, just keep the peace today. For some of you, you're flying home for Christmas and you're like, I'm just ready to kind of just drop a bomb in this whole thing. You ever listen to John Crist, comedian, talking about his family group chat? He's like, I'm just going to blow this thing up in a moment. The Bible calls that peace. It's when we just want this sense of completeness and wholeness. And we try to manufacture it all the time. Like every single one of us tries to long for it in a way where we could just have some temporal sense of this. Right? You don't believe me? Just look at your life and look at your friend's life. Like, don't be like, man, not me. That's not me. I got some friends, though. This is why escapism is such an allure. If I could just get another girl's night, if I could just get out of here for a moment, if I could just have another drink, if I could just have another hour of just endless scrolling. Like, even this moment this morning, I'm sitting there in our house, and I was like, man, I woke up way too early. And I know I'm going to have to go to my office and get prepared for this sermon, but I was like, if I could just have a few minutes, another funny video, just to numb myself out, then I could find a sense of peace. What about your hobbies? Right? I just need a break from all my responsibilities. I need something to distract me from the life I'm living. It's like for some of you, like, hey, you want to come play golf with me? I'm like, no. That doesn't, like, bring me joy. All that's going to do is make me realize how bad I'm inadequate. You ever seen a grown man try to hit a little ball, and then all of a sudden he's frustrated, and you're like, man, this is fun, isn't it? My hobbies, escape to the mountains only to regret my decisions. Had one of those moments the other day. I was like, Friday, I'm going to go up to the mountains, and I'm going to finally kill an elk. You know what I did? I hiked up in the snow and kept falling everywhere, and I'm like, this is dumb. Why did I choose this hobby for myself? What about money? I just need to hoard as much of it, as much as I can. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give generous. I'm not going to spend anything. Because why? Because the more money I have in the account equals the more security and peace. Yeah, and then life happens, right? Yeah, you have those moments where you're like, man, I created this sense of peace for myself. I got money stored up, and then every car breaks, and every kid in your family gets sick and breaks something, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, where's my security at? We're always trying to manufacture peace. There's a couple of obstacles to your peace as well that I just want to kind of unpack before I get to the solution. There's about four areas in which we have obstacles. It's the idea that we choose sin over confession and repentance. It's when we choose avoidance over dealing with your problems. It's when we desire for control over trusting God. And it's when we seek to be peacekeepers rather than peacemakers. Some of the obstacles to your peace right now is because of sin. I hit this moment earlier in life in this year where I was like, you know, I'm just going to start calling stuff sin again. We try to like create all these fancy labels for what sin really is, and we try to like kind of pass it off as something else. There are some things in our life that are just called sin, and they're not issues, but they're sin. They're acts of rebellion towards your Creator. For some of you, the reason you lack peace right now is because you have forfeited confession and repentance. And when we think about confession and repentance, it's one of God's best gifts to you. It's where you get to go to God and confess your sin and rebellion towards Him. And the beauty of the gospel is this, my friends. God, when you confess your sin to Him, He's not like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. He's not like, I don't know if I could deal with that one. When you think about confession, it's just bringing something that's been in the dark, that's enslaved you and entrapped you, and you're bringing it into the light and confessing it to the Lord. But for some of us, we lack peace because we have yet to confess sin. For some of us, let me give you another side note here, because I hear this one all the time. This is just a fun freebie. I don't know why pastors say that at all. But here's one of the things I always find interesting is people in my life will step into my office and they're like, Pastor, I'm like, what? And I don't respond that way. At least verbally I don't, but in my heart I'm like, what? I'm just kidding. I'm just at peace with this. And I'm like, nah, you're not at peace with this. Because I know what you're doing is in complete conflict and contradiction with the Bible. While all you're doing is lying to yourself. Hey, I know this relationship is outside of God's design and it's dishonoring to Him, but I'm at peace at it. Nah. Hey, there's some things in my life that I know God has said to do and not do, but I've prayed about it and I'm at peace about it. That's not peace, it's called deception. Sin is an obstacle to biblical peace. For some of you, it's avoidance rather than dealing with your problems. I asked our men recently in our men's Bible study, I said, hey, what's that one thing in your life that you just keep avoiding? Like, what's that one thing that keeps you up at night? When we avoid dealing with our trauma, when we avoid dealing with our sin, you know what actually happens? Is you're actually being controlled by it. You know that one conversation you need to have? Right? Like that one relationship you need to reconcile? You just kind of keep dodging it. We're like, I don't want to talk about it. I love in the story of the prophet Elijah, he hits this moment of despair. He just has this great victory. And in the moment of despair, he runs and hides. He's like, God, I'd rather you just kill me now. And God's like, you know what you need? Bro, you need a snack. You need a nap. And you need to go back and face your problems. And I'm not like saying, like for some of you, one of the most freeing things you could do is deal with the stuff that you have been trying to avoid your entire life. That you could just walk back into it and face it head on with the grace of God and the gospel and see God do a redemptive work. For some of us, the reason we don't have peace is we want the desire for control versus trusting Him. Because here's what we do is we believe if I could control things, I could manipulate everything in every situation for my own good and my own desires. And God's like, hey, that's my job. Hey, last time I checked, God's really, 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 really good at this whole thing called control. I think He's really, really good at being sovereign. I think He's really, really good at holding the whole world and universe in His hands. You know who's not? You and me. Every time we try to control things, you know what we're doing is we're just saying, man, I'm just afraid. And that's an obstacle to your peace. And then finally, for some of us, the reason we lack peace is because we're peacekeepers, not peacemakers. Peacekeepers don't want to call out sin. They avoid conflict. They just try to like make sure everybody's happy. And they're anxious. Like for some of you, man, like you just started like shaking when I talked about Christmas time. And you're like, oh gosh. But peacemakers rebuke sin. They call each other up into the grace of God. So what are some of those obstacles? What do you really want? How are you trying to manufacture peace for yourself rather than looking to the source of all peace? When we think about peace, it's really just this longing, as the Bible talks about, for the shalom of God. It's this idea of being whole and complete. When we think about shalom in the Old Testament, it was just saying that nothing's broken, everything's whole, it's sound, and it's complete. It gives this picture of this fortified city, that in it, it's protected and it's guarded. And the Old Testament is one of the most predominant theological concepts, right? Over 180 times in the Old Testament. It wasn't a negative or passive concept, but it involved wholeness and completeness. When you think about the Old Testament in the term peace, it was often used to describe a relationship that was characterized by friendship, love, care, and loyalty, i.e. the steadfast love of God. It carries this fundamental meaning of welfare or prosperity or wholeness, right? Some of the stories of the Old Testament, key one is Joseph, when he goes to his brothers and he asks, hey, what is the shalom of my brothers? What is their well-being? How are they? When you think about it, it is often referred to as times where someone would pray for the city or the welfare of it. It was when people lived in harmony, when there's an absence of strife. When you think about the shalom of God, it's when one seeks the good of a city, Jeremiah 29:7. It can mean material prosperity, physical safety, but it also means a spiritual well-being. Such peace is the association of righteousness and truth, but not of wickedness. True peace found in Christ. So now biblical peace means this. There's two ideas I want to communicate to you this morning. Is that biblical peace means this. That one, we are at peace with God. And second, we are gifted with peace from God. We're at peace with God. That's the gospel. And we're gifted with peace from God. That's the Holy Spirit. See, peace can be a subjective feeling in the heart or an objective state of affairs between two formerly hostile parties. Now, Luke chapter 2. Love this story. And it says in verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I love this. I'm going to stop there. Love the story of the shepherds. Right, you ever shake a real man's hand? Like my hands are kind of soft. Do you ever shake a man's hand and his hand just feels like sandpaper? And you're like, yeah, I am not an alpha male at all. When I was in Georgia preaching for one of my best friends, this guy came to me, shook my hand, and I was like, oh man. Shepherds, some rough and tough guys, kind of the outcast of society. These dudes probably rolled their own cigarettes type dudes. These are just these guys. They're out in the mountains doing work. They're also just not just rough men, but they're the kind of men that society would look down upon. Because of the work they did, they were considered unclean over and over again, so nobody really wanted to associate with them. But yet, where is the gospel preached? To the shepherds. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Right? You ever been in the Uintas at night by yourself? And, you just look and you're like, man, the stars are just amazing. You're there by yourself, and then all of a sudden this bright light of an angel shows up. What are you doing? A little nervous in this moment. I get scared when a bird flies by me in the middle of the night. Let alone the heavens open up and the angel of the Lord shows up. And these guys are out there just protecting their sheep. And here's what happens. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. That phrase, fear not, over and over again throughout Scripture. Every time God shows up, fear not, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, you got to imagine, right? The shepherds are just sitting there whoa, this is crazy. There's just one angel. And then the scene goes to a multitude with an angel. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And so here's these angels scared to death. Fear not. I've got a great message of good news for all the people. And then all of a sudden, because the gospel is proclaimed, all of these angels show up singing, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So we are a gospel people here. So we're just naturally going to always point you back to it. Like the message that was preached and proclaimed by the angels to the shepherd is what we just try to do every single Sunday here. It is just to remind you of the good news of Jesus. Because here's the key idea. Without Jesus, there is no peace between you and God. Like without him. And when we think Advent, right? We're looking back on something. We're looking back at how God fulfilled a promise in Genesis chapter 3. If you're new to the Bible, the very beginning of this whole thing, the earth was created in perfection. Man walked with God in a perfect relationship. Sin enters in the world and broke that relationship. And because God is good and gracious in that moment, he covers the nakedness and the shame of Adam and Eve. And he makes them a promise. And he says, hey, one day I'm going to send a redeemer and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. Advent number one. Without Jesus as mediator, there is no peace between us and God. This is why I said biblical peace means we are at peace with God. What does that begin to look like? It means that you and I were once enemies of God. Right? Like I know all the time we think like we're all that awesome and special. Man, the Bible says that you and I were enemies with God. Our hearts were hostile towards him. But yet, because of the gospel, because of Jesus being our mediator, he now makes those who are enemies his friends. In the book of Romans, it goes even further than that. You're not just a friend of God, but you're an heir and a child of God. Like, that is peace. That is the whole idea of biblical reconciliation. This is the message that was preached in Luke 2, the same message that we preach here. Why? Because Matthew 1:21 says that Jesus will save his people from their sin. Why do we need peace with God? The answer is sin. It's always going to be sin. The reason we need peace with God is because we rebelled against him, but Jesus is good and gracious and kind towards you that he paid the debt of your sin and mine. The world is always trying to solve that problem. And that's where I just keep saying, you know what, we just got to keep going back to what the Bible says. How are we given peace? Well, it's through the perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is why when we baptize people, this is why their shirts say, and I love it. That's why on the back of their shirts they say, Jesus in my place. Because Jesus did not just die for you. Hey, he didn't just die for you, he died instead of you and I. Like you and I, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, and we should have paid that debt. But Jesus comes in as the great substitute and says, I will stand in their place as the substitute. Now, I don't know about you, but I loved when the substitute showed up to class. It was awesome. Because you got away with a little bit more than you should have, right? All my real teachers are like, substitutes are horrible. Because then I got to clean up the mess later. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. If you were to jump to verse 17, it's talking about Jesus saying that he preached peace to those far off and those who were near. Those who were far off and those who were near. There's two types of people in the world. You're either saved or not saved. You're either lost or you're found. And for some of you, you would describe yourself as a lost person in this way. Man, I am rebelliously lost. Like, you know, all those commandments, broke all of them. I found other commandments to break because I am just a rejecter of God, rebelling against him. Those who are far off. And then it talks about those who are near, right? Like specifically, he's talking about the Jews in this text. But there's another kind of lost person that walks around, and that's the religiously lost person. The religiously lost person is trying to do everything he or she can to make themselves acceptable to God. They're trying to do all the right things, right? Speed limit's 45, I drive 43. Do extra kind things at Christmas for people. I'm just going to try to do all these good things so that way at some point I think I have enough to bring to God and be like, look at all these things, God. The problem with that is the scriptures. And it says every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. On your best day, in comparison to Jesus, we fail. But the good news of the gospel is that it's not on us. This is why it's such a gift to us that we receive. And so if the perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the answer, what's our response? How do you get peace with God? It's by faith. Now, faith is something that gets a little complicated. Every single one of you are a person of faith. You got a lot of faith, whether you realize it or not. Just go ahead and raise your hand if you walked in here and you said, man, I need to inspect this chair before I sit in it. How many of you called me and you're like, hey, man, can you give me the manufacturer of these chairs? I just want to make sure they're solid. I want to make sure these things are going to do what they said they would do. All faith is believing that something or someone is going to do what they said they would do. And all we say here at Church of Vows, hey, man, when we talk about faith in Jesus, we're going to say, hey, when we put our faith in Jesus, we're saying that the cross, the death, the burial, and resurrection was enough to bridge the gap between God and man. And that faith in Christ is all I'm leaning on and believing for my acceptance to him. Romans 5:10, verse 11, kind of summarizes this whole thing. It says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Where Paul is arguing from the greater to the lesser, though he speaks in terms of reconciliation, right? The language of friendship. When you think about having peace with God, it just means that you are reconciled with him. You ever have to reconcile a relationship with a friend? Where you had to go to somebody and be like, hey, like this is going to be awkward, but I need to apologize for something. Did some things, said some things, hurt you. Would you forgive me? And the other party's like, yeah, you're forgiven. Now, like when you think about peace with God, it's you have been reconciled with the creator of the universe. You have been reconciled. You have been made right with him. So now in Christ, peace with God, you have to remind yourself, like why we have hope is because we have peace. We have hope in the gospel. We have peace with God. We're reminded that right now, if you are a Christian, I know there's a lot of things that come to surface in your mind of all the reasons why God shouldn't love you. But when God looks upon you right now, because of the gospel, he sees the perfection of his son, Jesus. And that creates rest. That's Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That there's no more punishment reserved for you. You ever have those moments where you're thinking, like, man, if I mess this thing up anymore, there's going to be something on the other side of this. At some point, my grace meter is going to run out and God's going to strike me down. Can't happen. Why? Because of the gospel. That's what it means to be at peace with God. You have peace with God through the gospel as a gift given, not earned. That means you are no longer at war with God. There is nothing that can separate you from him. There's no more striving. There's no more efforts that are required because peace has been given to you. You're at peace with God. But you're also gifted with peace from him. Right? Like if you think about first part, it's your relationship and position with him. Now it's the experience with him. Gifted with peace from God. Tim Keller says, peace is God's presence, not an absence of trouble. You want a surprise about life? Guess what tomorrow's going to bring in the next day, in the next day, in the next day? School. Hardships and troubles, aka school. Until you meet him face to face, more trials, more suffering, more pain. This is where I'm like, hey, as followers of Jesus, we just got to kind of remind ourselves that like we're always going to have these things. Why? Because the Bible is over and over again going to talk about suffering and trials. And I'm like kind of at that point where I'm just like, yeah, this is how it is. One of my good friends is trying to move here. Guy that was in my church in Florida, listens to this podcast, by the way, so he's going to get, I think it's awesome. He's in the midst of like, man, I just feel like God's called me to Utah to live there on mission. And I'm like, well, just do it. He's like, really? And I was like, yeah, just do it. And I was like, man, stop over-spiritualizing it. You know what you ought to do to know your answer? Just start applying for jobs. He's like, okay. Calls me, he's like, hey, man, this is crazy. And I'm like, no, it's not. He's got a job offer. And then in the midst of that, we're like celebrating, like, see, man, look at what God's doing, faithfulness of God. Next day, hey, man, Bailey's pregnant. We already have 4 kids. A couple weeks later, hey, man, I don't know how to say this, but we just lost the baby. Heart just weeps, all right? This whole past year, like, I could look out on our church and see numerous of you where that was your story this year. And so he's like, hey, man, I'm supposed to come there in November. I don't think we're going to come in. We just can't really, like, process, recover from it. A couple weeks later, hey, man, our house just flooded, and we're trying to sell this thing. And in the midst of it, he's like, I just can't believe this. And I'm like, I can, because, man, that's just life. Because life is hard, but God is good, and the peace of God flows in your life through those things. He finally called me the other day. Maybe you won't appreciate this, but when you see him, you're like, oh, you're the one. He's like, man, the other day I just lost it. It just broke down finally. We're in like 400 square feet of our house, and I'm just on the floor crying my eyes out. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, but guess what, man? 6 weeks from now, you'll be sitting here in Utah in one of the most beautiful places where God is doing something crazy special. And he's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. And I was like, yeah, man, who cares about that house, man? It's dead to you now anyways. Like, let it flood. Not going to appreciate that because this is the second time their house has flooded. So it's kind of like I told him, man, you want peace, step into your triggers and trauma. Life is hard. God is doing something special. And we have promises to hang on to. John 14:27. This is Jesus talking. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? Because life is hard, but God is good, and he's ever present with you. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Love that. God keeps you in perfect peace as we set our hearts on him. Isaiah 9:6, right, says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, you want to know the best illustration of the Bible? When we're thinking about the peace of God and the presence of peace and the presence of God that brings peace, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 8 for a second. Matthew chapter 8. Like if there was a better illustration of the peace of God and the presence of God, it's Matthew 8. It says, and when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Man, you want to talk about calmness? You want to talk about the presence of God? So here's the disciples. Here's what happens. And they went and they woke him, and saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him? Storm is raging, boats going to and fro. The disciples are like acting, right? Like, you remember the scene of Dumb and Dumber? They're freaking out and they're like, man, our pets' heads are falling off. Like, that's the disciples in this moment. They don't know what to do. Jesus is asleep. You don't think they got angry and anxious in that moment? Like, how dare you sleep when we're all about to die? You think Jesus maybe pretended to be asleep for a little bit longer in that moment? I don't know. Probably not, because that's not what the Bible says. I'm going to ask him one day, be like, hey, man, for real, were you really just pretending? And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? The Son of God, the Prince of Peace, in their presence," and they missed what was right in front of them, that Jesus was there. Jack Dawson drew a remarkable photo that I think just kind of summarizes this whole thing. You're gifted with the peace of God. I shared this last year. So if you're like seen this before, get over it and look at it again. So you have this picture, right? And this just like feels like life. Lightning popping. There's probably thunder in the background that you can't hear. Waterfalls just pouring like crazy. I don't know if I shared this story, but several years ago I went on this counseling retreat with a bunch of pastors, and we were like told to sit in a circle and like share your feelings, and I'm like, no way. I'm not sharing my feelings. These are my friends. I got to like stand confident. And I just remember this lady, like saint from the Lord. She is like part wizard, part prophet, part like just like wonderful counselor. It got weird for a second. She's like, "I want you to grab one of these pictures that describes your life." And I'm like, "I don't know about this. This is weird." There's all these paintings. And there's just this this big constant rapid picture. And she's like, "Why'd you grab that one?" And I'm all in my feels. I'm like, "I'm not going to share this." And I'll start breaking down crying for a moment. I'll just like imploded. She's like, "Why'd you draw that?" I was like, "Because that's my life. I'm just terrified. And I just can't make sense of it. And I'm just like horrified at the future. This is life. Storm's going, waterfall's just pouring on there. But what you can't see is, maybe you can see, but this next slide, like right there on the rock. And the author's just like, this little dove, quail, whatever it is, it's just calmly resting in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the waterfall and the waves and life going on around it. And Jack Dawson says that this is peace in the midst of the storm. That the storms don't go away, but Jesus is ever present with you through it all. Where Jesus is present, the Christian can have complete peace in the midst of the chaos in those scary moments. When you think about Advent today, this means that you have peace from God in your uncertainty. You have peace from God in the bad news you get. You get peace from God in the trials and suffering. You get peace from God when life doesn't make sense. Why? Because Jesus is our answer for ultimate peace. For where he is, present peace abounds. And so guess what? Tomorrow, you're going to have another storm. The next day, you're going to have another trial. The next day, more tribulation. Everything in your life that you thought was all coming together may fall apart. But you know what's constant in the midst of all of these things? Is the presence of the peace of God through it all. So Jesus is the answer. You might feel like that bird, and you're like, on the inside, I'm terrified. But that doesn't negate the fact that Jesus is at work in the midst of it. So let me ask you two questions as we close this morning. What do you need most today? Two questions. Do you need to be at peace with God, or do you need to receive peace from God? Two ways to look at this. Is maybe for some of you, you need peace with God. The only way you're going to get peace with God is for you to surrender your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is what it means to be born again. This is what it means to become a Christian. This is what it means to be to receive Christ in your life. That you need peace with God. That this Christmas season, maybe the greatest thing that will happen to you is you receive the grace of God. Now, it's really simple. And it's just, as I pray later, you could just pray this. It's just simple as ABC. As you come to this place in your life where you're like, hey, I'm just going to admit that I'm a sinner. There's nothing I could do to save myself. There's nothing I could do to earn salvation. You're going to believe that Jesus is enough. That when he died on a cross, it counted for you. That his perfect life and death and resurrection was the only payment needed to satisfy the wrath of God. Scripture says that you believe that thing in your heart, and you believe that he rose from the dead. And then it's followed up with commitment. This is when the Bible says that he is Savior and Lord. That when you come to your senses and you're like, hey, Jesus is the only answer. Like, he is Lord of my life now. I'm no longer in charge. I'm really not good at being in charge of my life, but you know who is? Jesus is. I'm going to admit that I'm a sinner. I'm going to believe that it counted for me on the cross, and I'm going to commit my life to him. For some of you, that's what you need today. You need to be at peace with God. For some of you, you need peace from God. Like, you're just like, hey, man, the storms are gone, and I'm not sitting there as a little bird bunkered down. I'm running around trying to stop this thing. Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, hey, we're called to rejoice over and over again. Joy is not conditional about how good or bad things are. Joy is constant. He says, do not be anxious about anything. I'm anxious all the time. There are a lot of things. Somebody in our church the other day asked me, she's like, so what's it like being you? I was like, it's very dysfunctional. Lay in bed at 3 a.m. most nights, just anxious. The Bible says to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then there's a promise tied to that. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So for some of you, that's what you need today. It is the peace of God in your circumstances. For some of you, it's just saying, you know what, today, I've been avoiding some stuff, going to deal with it. For some of you, it's like, man, I've been trying to have control over all things, and I just need to release it to the Lord. I'm going to kind of switch what we're going to do. We're going to go straight into communion, but I want us to just offer our time to pray for you. What that's going to look like is I'm just going to have, where's our prayer crew today? Who's praying? Nobody? Me? Brittany? Joshua? Levi? Isaac? Chris? I'm just going to tell you this before we start singing, before we take communion, that if you're like, hey, I need to be at peace with God, I need peace from God, got some really, really bad news this week, I'm still struggling with some stuff that happened this year, I don't know what it is, hey, I need to reconcile some things, and I'm just not walking in Christmas with peace. I've got some sin to confess. I got some sickness, whatever's going on. We're just going to pray for you. And for the rest of us, we're just going to sing over you and with you. But if that's you, I'm going to pray. And then as soon as I'm done praying, I'm just going to invite you to go to the back. For some of you, you're like, hey, man, I'm old school Baptist, and I just want to come forward and kneel at the altar. But I don't want you to leave here the same way you walked in. I want you to leave here knowing, hey, I'm at peace with God, and I have peace from God. It's not going to, like, fix everything. It's not going to instantly make everything just be magically fine again. But it is going to remind you that he is present with you. So would you stand to your feet? Father, I pray right now for every person that's under the sound of my voice, God. Those that need to be at peace with you, may they surrender their lives to you. For those that have some stuff going on in their lives, they're like, man, I just don't feel your peace or your presence right now. Father, I pray that as they step out of their aisles, out of their seats, and bring these things to you, God, that you would do what you say you would do, that the peace of God surpasses all understanding, that the peace of God would remind them that you're with them in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you need somebody to pray with you or for you, we're just going to say it like it is. Don't be too prideful, because every other person that's sitting beside you has some stuff going on in their life that they just don't want other people to know about. So you be the person that says, hey, I need prayer. I need somebody to pray with me. Got some stuff going on in my life, and then we're going to sing together. Amen.